You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone and welcome along to the latest edition of the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. Good to have you with us. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast where we've got three jumps fixtures once again for you. We go racing at Ayr, at Bangor and also at Exeter on Wednesdays. Hopefully you can join us for all of the action. We're live on Ayr, 12:35pm on Racing Radio. Ross Briley is joined in the studio by Andy Gibson and Andrew Mount. However, joining myself, Sam Norris, for a look at a couple of races at Bangor on Wednesday is Ollie Pimlott. Ollie, how the devil are you?
Good evening, Samuel. Well, good afternoon.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, whenever you're listening, it's evening, afternoon, or it could even be morning.
Yeah, because there's no evening racing this week, Ollie.
There is not. Thanks to the legend, Dale Gibson.
Yeah.
He's brought this in, so the flat jockeys are having their 1 week sabbatical.
Which I think is probably a good thing.
I think it should be longer, to be honest. I think they should go 2 or 3 weeks without any flat racing and really give the boys a chance to recharge. I know a lot of the higher profile jockeys go abroad to likes of Dubai and stuff now, so some of the middle of the road jockeys might complain because this is the time of year where they do make probably more money than they do during the summer months. But I think it's right for racing. It gives the trainers a break as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, and all the stable staff, of course.
Stable staff, and you know, the flat never stops anymore, does it? Especially with, you know, Newcastle being so prevalent now. So you've got, what, 4 all-weather tracks. It never really stops. And now Southwell, of course, night meetings as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's a good thing. Well done to the legend. And I actually think they should extend it to be a 2 or 3 weeks after the November handicap.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough in many respects. As you point out there, though, for some jockeys, they do like to be busy. I remember seeing a feature on Luke Morris on ITV Racing. That boy covers some distance. He must be bored out of his mind.
Yeah,
he must be trying to get some rides at Dundalk.
Racked up some miles on his on his car, wouldn't he? I hope he's not got one of those lease things where he can only do 10,000 a year, because he'd do that in about 2 weeks.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wonder if any of them will try and get a ride at Dundalk on Friday night, because they're still racing.
They are still racing. I'm not sure if there's any British runners entered, but I'm sure, some Art Prescott has one, I'm sure Mr. Morris will be riding.
Absolutely. But week off for them, and it spent earlier finishes through the course of the week. We've been able to focus a little bit more on the jumps action. Where are your string at the moment, Ollie? We're a little way away from the points season really starting, aren't we?
It starts officially this this weekend.
Is it that early?
Yeah, right. Cottenham near Cambridge, Newmarket Way. That starts this weekend. I'm hoping to have my first runner at Hexham on the 2nd of December.
Okay.
So it starts sort of then, the Northern Tracks, Hexham and Alex, our way here. We are based in Leeds. And then the Yorkshire season starts at Mick Easterby's, sort of the second week in January.
Okay.
But last year I had a lot of four-year-olds to run last year. last season, I should say, still this year. But they never ran because the ground was just so quick. We never really had a chance to run them. So I've got a lot of nice, exciting horses to run this year. A couple of them will actually go under rules down the bumper route, and a couple will stay pointing. And fortunately, Qatar Racing have kept Carter Mackay with us. He'll be the flag bearer this year. It's 2 from 2 for us last season, and all roads, hopefully, touch wood. He is a very fragile horse, but if he stays right, he'll have a pipe opener at Sheriff Hutton in January. Then he'll go to Haydock, and then hopefully the Fox Hunters and the big race at Punchestown at their festival.
Right,
so, yeah, he'll dance all the big dances this year. Say he's a fragile horse, but extremely talented. He was favourite for the Champion Bumper just a couple of seasons ago, and he was placed in a graded Grade 2 the season before last. So, a lot of ability this horse, but say 33-20 is for the Fox Hunters. I wouldn't put you off. Say if he stays sound, he'll certainly be a lot short price on the day.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing him out and about again this season. A little bit closer to the time, you got an entry at Southwell next week?
Yeah, runs in my brother Max's name.
Okay.
Called Go Well Spicy. She's a 2-year-old, got it from Mick Shannon. 13,000 we paid about 3 or 4 weeks ago at the horse in training sale. The ultimate aim for her is to run at Deauville on the 3rd of December, and we bought her to go running a claimer, as we did with the horse a couple of months back.
Yeah, which you were very unlucky with, by the way.
Yeah,
it finished like a train.
It didn't get the greatest of rides from Monsieur Barcelona, but he was claimed on that occasion. We made a few quid, and we've got, between myself and a few friends, etc., four to go to Deauville with at the end of the month. A horse called Punjab Mail. He's come from Ian Williams.
Yep.
He's a nice horse. I actually worked him this morning at Mr. Fitzgerald's, and he went well. We have Locked and Loaded, a two-year-old of Richard Hannon's.
Okay.
Who else have we got? Goel Spicy, she'll probably head there. And the other horse we have, bought it from Ed Dunlop last week, called Global Express. But he might be a little bit touch and go, might come a little bit too quick for him. But the plan was to be running a lot of horses in France over the next months and weeks, hoping to have a satellite yard over there next summer.
Okay.
So that is the plan. And so I wouldn't say we're testing the water, because we've tested the water over the last 3 or 4 months, last 6 months or so. So we are sending quite a big enough team to Deauville. One runs on the 2nd, and then there's three runners on the 3rd. So they're going over there with the very good prize money offer, and they're all running in claimers. So if somebody wanted to claim them, I don't know if you're au fait with the French claiming system, but it's a little bit different to
not
ours.
As much as you, I would imagine.
Yeah, so obviously if you've got a horse in a claimer in the UK, it's in for instance, Augusta Gold, we'll talk about later, is in for a claim of 8,000.
Yep.
Five people put the claim in, all for 8,000. And whoever is lucky enough to be picked out of the box gets the horse.
Okay, so it's more of a ballot.
Yeah, it's effectively a look at the draw.
Yeah.
Whereas in France, Augusta Gold is in for a minimum of 8,000.
Right.
So if just one person put a bid in for 8,000, it'll go for 8,000. But it effectively becomes a little bit of a whoever has the highest bid.
Oh, like a bidding war.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
But you don't know what other people have bid.
Ah, okay.
For instance, my horse in France was in for 26,000, and it got claimed for €32,111.
Right. Okay.
So they
it's
a lot of
precise,
yeah. So a lot of people will put in a little bit of a say if horse in for 26 grand, the owner might want to try and buy it back. So if you don't go, if you put in a friendly claim, mm-hmm. and it's in for 26,000, and you put the friendly claim in, you want to get it back for 26,000, it's not going to cost you any money.
Right.
So somebody might put a claim in for 26,336, because they think they might nick it, if not, no game loss. But for instance, again, how it works is, if you put in a friendly claim, you want the horse goes and wins, bolts up, and you want it back, and it's in for 26,000, and you put a claim in for a friendly claim, because you own the horse for 30,000, and you get it back, that will cost you €2,000, because it costs you.
And who does
you,
that go to?
It just goes to the race course,
right,
of France Gallop.
Yeah.
So you half of whatever is over the claiming price, you have to pay the France Gallop or whatever.
Right. Okay.
So it's a little bit of a different way of working than to the UK, but the French racing over here, it's still a little bit frowned upon if you claimed a horse about someone. In France, it's not frowned upon at all. A lot of trainers, that is how they operate.
Yep.
They'll run horses predominantly in claimers, buying and selling them, very much the same way as we see in America.
In the US, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very sort of similar way of going. They don't have that many handicaps in France. They do have quite a lot of maidens and stuff for the 2 and 3 year olds, but they don't have that many handicaps. So, you know, they all sort of operate in claimers, very similar to the States. So, I know France isn't far away from the UK at all. But the way of racing is actually, the way it works is quite a bit different. And if you look at the French handicap marks, a French horse rated 80, for instance, on the flat, is probably about a 75, 74 horse in the UK. So their handicap marks are generally about four, five, six pound higher than a UK mark.
Okay. And as you've alluded to already, there's some nice pots to be had as well.
There is.
The reason we see so many raiders going over.
For instance, today I didn't have a horse for the race. Carl Burke had a horse win a race at Shanty today, a 26 grand claimer. It was in to be claimed for 6 grand at Redcar, I think, 2 weeks ago. Today it won off a mark of 64, picked up €11,500 to the winner, which over here is...
You'd have to win 3 races, wouldn't you?
Well, a minimum.
Yeah.
A minimum. Rated 64, you're rated in 0-65.
Yeah,
barely getting 3 grand to the winner. And with the current exchange rate, you're basically running for sterling. It's basically picked up the best part of 10 grand. And it's rated 64. Over here, that is not... Well, it's impossible.
Yes. Yeah. And it sounds like the operation is expanding. Tell us a little bit more about the satellite yard. How obviously we've, I think Gay Kellaway has one, or she may.
Yeah, she used to have one. What happens is racing goes from basically Chanty to sort of Deauville now, and then from there a lot of French overs, French trainers relocate to the south of France because it's quite a harsh winter.
Yeah.
So they go to Cannes and Marseille. So between the months of January and February, you have to hire boxes out there because it's so far from anywhere.
Yeah.
In the south of France, the trainers will hire, I don't know, say you've got 10 horses, you'll hire 10 boxes and they'll train off the race course. So again, a bit like America, horses are trained at the track. And then from there, sort of March time, they'll come back up to the Paris area because around Paris, there's 5, 6, 7 tracks all within the vicinity.
Okay.
That's why Chanty is, there's so many trainers there because it's so central. You get to Paris within an hour and you've got 5, 6 big tracks within, you know, an hour circumference.
Yeah.
But in terms of the satellite yard, yeah, hopefully, Michael Delzong, who is a family friend, of course, trained McPhee to win the Guineas.
All right, yeah, of course.
Had a lot of good horses. Chineur, I think, won at Royal Ascot when he was at York. He predominantly trains for Alain de Royer de Pré, and he now trains basically for big French breeders. He's beautiful.
He's got a lot of the Aga Khan horses, hasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he's got all the Aga Khan horses, not Alain de Royer de Pré. He also trains the Aga Khan horses.
Yes,
they're sort of split between him and Mikel.
Right.
So he's a beautiful yard with quite a few boxes. Which I could be able to hopefully rent off him during the summer. And in terms of keeping horses over there, 92 days you can keep them in France and run them in a British trainer's license.
Oh, okay.
So it's not a case of you'd have to run it, bring it back and run it again. So, yeah, you can keep them as long as you've got somewhere to relocate it. You know, a lot of people send over their assistant trainer or a lad with a horse that they know it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can keep it there, I think, for a maximum of 92 days. So, yeah, there's a lot of scope for it. I hope not as many people are going to latch onto it as I am.
Yeah.
And Mr. Fitzgerald, because my brother works for the International Racing Bureau and they do pretty much all of the French entries for English and British trainers.
So
that is why we leave all that sort of stuff to him and we sort of try and buy the right sort of horse.
Yeah. Will you be heading to France yourself, or will you be sending a representative?
I'm not sure yet, because I think I've got a runner in a point-to-point on the Sunday as well.
Right, okay.
So, I'm not sure
This is a problem
yet.
Being dual-purpose, as you are, Ali.
Yeah, problem of having horses in under all codes. But yeah, hopefully I'm sure I'll be at Deauville, probably, rather than... Deauville's... I don't know if you've ever seen Deauville, Sam, but
seen it on the TV.
Yeah, it's... without being... disrespectful to Hexham, it's a bit chalk and cheese, really.
Right, yeah.
But having said that, I'm not sure you're going to get a nice steak dinner for 10 or 15 euro in Deauville, whereas I think you could buy half a Hexham for that.
Absolutely. I'm sure Hexham won't be too offended that they haven't matched the grandeur of Deauville. Fascinating stuff. Thank you for that. Let's turn our attention on now to the racing on Wednesday. As I say, we've got the three meetings all over the obstacles. Once again, as we mentioned earlier on, the Flat Boys having a little bit of a break at the moment. We're going to start at Bangor. In fact, both races come from Bangor today. The 1:15 is up first. A mare's novices chase here. Small field for this one, which, you know, obviously is the case with some of the lesser novice chases, and particularly ones restricted to mares only. But it is a listed race as well, so it's a small but select field. And this quartet, they're no slouchers.
Yeah, it's a good race. I think the likely favourite will be Augusta Gold. She's probably going to go off a shade of odds on. Mags Mullins wouldn't run many horses over here at all, would she? But this horse absolutely bolted up at Thurles last time, won by 53 lengths, jumped impressively for a novice. And I think they'll just jump out here, Danny Mullins, and try and make all the running and run him into the ground. But I thought 8-13 was short enough for me, because Alsa Mix, who makes its chasing debut here, I think sets a really good standard on its hurdles form. Won a Grade 2 at Sandown on heavy ground, so I don't think the heavy going officially at Bangor is going to cause any sort of worry for this horse. And then ran in 2 Grade 1s following that, won its first 3 starts over hurdles, and then ran at Newbury in the Challow hurdle, 6-7 behind Champ. It wasn't disgraced.
Yeah, yeah.
And then went to the Albert Bartlett, was 100-1 shot, and pulled up. So what you can read into the 2 Grade 1s, not a great deal, I would argue. But having won its first 3 starts over hurdles, it had an official rating of 137. Now, Augusta Gold here, the Irish raider, has an official rating at Irish ratings. Last official Irish rating was 125. So I know it's got chasing experience on its side here, Augusta Gold, and the benefit of a run. But coming from Alan King's yard, you'd have thought, especially for a listed race first time out, that it's going to be cherry ripe. We know it'll go on the ground. And with an official rating of 132 over hurdles, you'd have to think should go close here. So I thought around about 5-2 with William Hill at time of recording. I think Alsa Mix can put it up to the favourite in the 115 at Bangor.
Yeah, I like that. Alsa Mix then the choice in that one. We stay at Bangor then for another race, but another decent looking race to be fair. The 255. This is a handicap hurdle, a class 2 event as well. And again, this is a small but select field. But again, there's some decent handicap hurdlers in here.
And good to see some decent prize money on offer as well. Best part of 14,000 to the winner. I think a likely short price favourite here is going to be the Wolf, who used to be with Warren Greatrex last season and made a winning start for Ollie Murphy at Fakenham in a novice hurdle last month. What it achieved on that occasion, I'm not sure. I don't think it actually needed to improve on its novice hurdle form with Warren Greatrex to win that. Generally, Fakenham wouldn't be the strongest of races, but it did win well on that occasion. And Ollie Murphy, we all know he can improve horses from all yards. Warren Greatrex, a very good trainer in himself, but you wouldn't be surprised to see this gelding by Capguard to have improved for the stable switch. But again, what he achieved at Fakenham is hard to really put your finger on. Could he, he could be thrown in off this mark equally at 13-8. I'd be willing to take a stab at something else. So I'm going to go with the top weight here, Chitty Balco, for Donald McCain Jr. and William Kennedy. This is its second start after a wind operation. Regular podcast listeners will know from Andrew Mount that if you follow horses on their second run after a wind up, I think it shows a level stakes profit.
Yep.
Certainly does on the jumps. And his mark used to be in the mid-140s this time last year. He reappeared at Foss Lass on extremely heavy going. Foss Lass, as we know, some horses love it, a lot of them hate it. And Foss Lass on heavy ground, first run this year. Donald McCain's were tending to need a run. Should be cherry fit now. Will go on the ground here at Bangor, has won on heavy in the past, and is well handicapped on old form. So around about 7-2 at time of recording. I think Chitty Balco, the top weight, offers an each way or an alternative to the Wolf, the favourite.
Yeah, hopefully a couple of value plays then against short enough favourites at Bangor, which is one of three race meetings coming up on Wednesday alongside Ayr and Exeter. Ross Briley will be in the presenter's chair, and it's Andrew Mountain, Andy Gibson trying to find the winners on Racing Radio from 12:35. Ollie, thank you for that. Fascinating to talk to you today.
Samuel, as always, a pleasure.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.